CLW83 Network. Tune in.
The following podcast contains graphic language that may offend some listeners. Discretion is advised.
And now, WrestleChat.net presents the North American Wrestling Connection, bringing you great wrestling discussion since 2007, sanctioned by...
Our show underway. So, ladies and gentlemen, with the trolling taken care of, we now can begin the North American Wrestling Connection as sponsored by WrestleChat.net on the CLW83 network. My name is Nikki Heyman. So let me introduce you to the roundtable of the usual suspects. Let me start with the man who has just trolled me, Mr. Jim Williams.
Oh, hi. Yes, I didn't know I had that kind of range in my singing voice, but, oh wait, no, I do have range. It's, somewhere in the scale of Francis Scott off-key is my range, actually, so.
There you go. Then the respondent, somebody who might be somewhere within a stone's throw of Manhasset, that'd be Mr. Jason Block.
Wow. Eli Manning on Sunday, Jeremy Lin tonight. It's been a great week to be a New York sports fan.
Gag me with a spoon.
Shut up!
And our mediator, armed with a folding chair, Mr. Brian Henniger.
Thank you.
Hit him with the folding chair!
Then what you get if you hit him again!
Yes, and... not only that, I have a new bit of wrestling attire that I can add to the arsenal. I got a new wrestling shirt in the mail today, folks.
And what would this be?
It is a replica of Greg the Hammer Valentine's famous I Broke Wahoo's Leg shirt.
Wow!
Nice.
That's old school.
That is ancient school. But cool.
Yeah, I'll have to get a picture with it tomorrow and show it to you. Very cool.
So, let us get into what has been a very, very light news week. Yeah. And actually, we had a very light, we had a Raw that was extremely light on wrestling, still managed to pull a 3-2. Mm-hmm. Now, WWE decided they were going to do their people a favor. We're going to get some storylines moved along. We're not going to do a whole lot of wrestling. We want everybody to be in good shape for when we pack everybody up to go to Abu Dhabi, and everybody will be okay when we get ready to do one of our most dangerous pay-per-views. Boy, do plans just never work out right.
Ooh, you ain't kidding.
Now, when they go to Abu Dhabi, will Nurmal be there to meet them?
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
I thought I was the only one to think of that.
Oh my god! A Garfield reference.
You beat me to it, Brian. Well played.
Wow. That's impressive.
I gotta give him that.
Thank you.
But unfortunately, as I said, it just wasn't all fun and games.
No.
we had one little incident that actually they did a really good job of hiding. I honestly didn't think anything of it and didn't see it. I had to go back and watch this again. Eve Torres got her nose busted up, Jason.
Yeah, Beth Phoenix actually just busted her nose open hard one. And it wasn't as bad as the Joey Mercury incident, but her nose was bleeding.
I remember that one.
And so she got busted open on camera, but that really wasn't the biggest injury that was suffered Monday.
Mm-hmm. No, and I'll get to that in just a moment. Jim, Brian, you guys were watching Raw. Did you see it? Because somebody texted me during the show, and I had to go back. I saw Jack Doan putting rubber gloves on, and then I noticed that the camera stayed off of Eve to the end of the match and the celebrations. I'm sorry, Brian?
I said I didn't see it, but then again, I wasn't really looking for it, but saw some of the pictures of it, and...
She got
busted up real good.
I really didn't catch it. Usually most of the Divas matches I just kind of snooze through for obvious reasons. But, I didn't catch it initially. But amazing how it got all better in time for Kane to give her the business.
No. I think I know how that works, but...
I think that was a pre-shot.
No!
Yeah, shut up.
Get out of Dodge and get a Chrysler.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sorry, but to use a Matthewism, that whole bit at the end with her and Kane, I think she was corpsing. I think somebody had to send for the man towards the end.
This little bit of video trickery brought to you by
KFBE. Kayfabe Radio.
Our West Coast station, absolutely.
Yes, it was.
We love you, Steve Bryant.
Yes.
Now, so Eve might be out of action for a little bit, or they might even play this into an angle. They really could.
I believe Beth Phoenix said something to that effect. While you talk about the other injury, let me just pull it up on the Twitterverse here, because
okay.
A lot of the wrestlers have actually, they use it to continue angles.
Right. The other injury, thankfully, is not a bad one, but I give a lot of people a scare, including somebody who could have prevented it.
Really?
Really.
Really?
Really.
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 Riley!
Riley? Randy!
Riley!
Jimmy! Randy. Little Jimmy! Little Jimmy got injured! Little Jimmy didn't like that!
Oh,
no, he didn't!
and by the way, the two things that she said, she goes, I don't need anyone, this is what Beth Phoenix said on Monday,
okay.
I don't need anyone, Eve Torres got a boo-boo, big deal, hashtag Divas Champion Forever, and I warned you, hashtag get out of my ring.
Lovely. No, actually, I'm digging that. It's, you know, it's unfortunate for Eve, but no such thing as a good time to have an injury, but if it forwards the storyline, you know, let's do it. But getting back to the other injury, as Miz just made sure that little Jimmy got.
Oh, that was scary. Honestly, when I saw it, oh, I really thought he was a lot more hurt than he was.
Right.
I cringed when he landed, and then they started saying that they had taken him out of, they had taken him to the back for observation. I was like, oh, great. You know, either, you know, he did something to his back, or he gave himself a concussion on the landing, because, I'm sorry, midair, the ring apron is 4 feet high.
Mm-hmm.
The ropes are another four and a half feet themselves. And he has to jump over all of that and then went straight to the floor, hitting a 1-inch mat, laying on top of concrete.
Yeah. In the words of Jim Ross, don't tell me they know how to fall.
No.
It's rough.
So it's my understanding he's okay. He was just a little shaken up, and Miz was pretty shaken up immediately, because this is adding to a little laundry list of, I'm not going to use unprofessionalism. I'm going to say that he has just not been on his game the last couple of weeks, and I'm hearing that there might even be some grumbling backstage.
Very true. Very true. In fact, let me see if I can bring it up from Wrestle Chat. There is some heat, to say the least, on the Miz at this point. Like you mentioned, the various recent events of the past couple of weeks, and with Triple H, you know, being behind the scenes and having a lot more pull in the last little while, it's not pretty. It's not pretty. Here it is. According to WrestleChat, Jeff Peck reporting this, who does another fine podcast, the Still Real to Us show, going back to the slingshot and what have you, the Miz is being blamed for the spot altogether. A ton of heat on him from company officials, including Triple H backstage after the show. The WWE Executive Vice President of Talent loudly disciplined the Miz in front of wrestlers as soon as he returned to the back. So, there we go.
Mind you, because this is essential. That was number two of three really big, really blatant things that the Miz has done in the last 2 weeks. One of them just made it to Matthew's Botchamania 200, which was Miz dead-assing Truth on a move during the Rumble.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have this fall spot. And then when Miz was already shaken up by that, he gets back in the ring. He's supposed to do... he's supposed to duck a clothesline and then do the malfunction at the junction, the double crossbody, but bumps to a phantom clothesline from Jericho. Jericho didn't even have his arm out, and Miz bumped.
Right, and when I watched it, I was like, what? And to even further the fire, if there wasn't enough heat, Mr. Alberto Del Rio did an interview with a San Francisco radio station, and basically said that the only person who I legitimately hate in the locker room is The Miz. And he said that he has tried to literally punch him out, but he runs away, what was his words, like a scared little girl, I believe the words were.
I have the quote if you guys want to hear it.
I'd love to.
And I quote, The Miz, I hate The Miz. This is not part of the show. I really dislike that guy. I tried to punch him in the face several times, not in the ring. I mean outside the ring. He's like a little girl. He's always running away from me. That's a big difference between The Miz and I. I am a real athlete. He's just a loud, stupid little kid. He's one of those guys who was probably bullied when he was in school, and that's the reason now that he's so loud, he wants to get attention from everybody. Well, Miz, you've got some attention, and you've got some heat.
Oh, no!
Sorry, Jason.
I'm sorry. I was going to take away your thunder. Excuse me. The question is, though, is this going to be a slow burn, or is he dancing on a 500-degree grill right now?
Very good question. I mean, you go back this time last year when he was the champion, he seemed to be doing all the right things. Amazing how things can change in less than 365 days, really, when you get right down to it.
Well, the fact that after he lost the belt, he's just kind of he's pretty much fallen out of the main event picture, and
he's borderline start of the card as opposed to even middle of the card right now to some degree.
Right, and unfortunately, these incidents are only just going to further push him down. He's not going to see anything in the way of a belt for a little bit, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to be, he's not going to be a main event picture. He is one of the participants for the Raw Chamber, right?
Yes, he is.
Mm-hmm.
Well, expect to see him get destroyed.
Oh, he's going to get kicked out first. I think they're going to pull what they did to Truth a couple of years ago.
kind of reality check of sorts to Miz, get your stuff right or else this could be the closest you ever get to anything main event worthy again, son.
Pretty much. Essentially, if you guys remember Chamber 10, mm-hmm. Punk took out Truth in like 3 minutes and then sat down and started preaching.
First of all, you could even go back as far as November 2011 because people are blaming him, by the way, which is not the right, this I don't think is correct. They're blaming him for the low buy rates of Survivor Series, which is not 100% true.
No. If you really want to blame the low buy rate on it, it was some of the build-up and one of the other participants.
Yes, exactly. Right.
Because the question still, because they raised the question, if Cena can beat Awesome Truth all by himself, why the hell did he need The Rock?
Exactly.
So, and Miz, unfortunately, doesn't really have a whole lot of cushion, even though his merchandise does well and he was getting a good response from the crowd. We've got all these wonderful talents coming up from FCW, including one that they have finally signed.
Finally! Mm-hmm.
And that would be?
That would be Chris Hero.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
His medical issues have been cleared up. It's a rather interesting story. I believe apparently he was tripping some triggers about high testosterone levels, but it turns out it's rather au natural. It is not a chemical condition. That is just how he is.
That's just how he rolls, baby.
Woo!
No complaints from over here. Oh, excuse me.
Yeah.
Now, I was flipping around on the fan board's thread about Hero and was bragging about the fact that I've run into him a couple of times. And people were joking. Okay, so they're going to throw him into the FCW name generator.
Oh, God.
And the somebody, the first one that popped out was Thor Thunder, and I'm like, stop it, you guys. The other one that came out was Chris Valiant, and I was like, okay, I'll take that.
That's not terrible. Chris
no,
Valiant.
I like that name, actually. Chris Valiant.
But
well, if his name is Chris Hero, they could call him, Kent Banner.
Okay, that's funny.
Yes, yes, I like that.
That's funny. I can do this. Let's see.
Or Clark Bruce? Why not?
No. That doesn't roll. That doesn't roll off the tongue very well. Bugger. My comic book geek is weak. Anyway,
Bruce Grayson?
Now we're getting somewhere.
No, wait. Murdoch Grayson.
That's a good one.
I never read comic books, really.
Yeah, I know.
Where are you when we really need you?
Yes, exactly.
The all-knowing, omniscient Squatch.
Oh, he's probably listening somewhere and just shaking his head.
Yes, but getting back to Mr. Mizanin, what do you think is going to happen to him?
Well, he's on very, very thin ice right now. And I have a feeling, you know, they're not going to push him all the way back to superstars. But first of all, he's going to get flattened in the chamber. I will put money on it that his match at WrestleMania is going to be that let's give everybody a paycheck battle royale.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Hmm.
Um, Because where do you put him? You know, what would you do for him for Mania at this point?
Money in the Bank?
Maybe.
Possibly.
Yeah, you put him in the Money in the Bank and you have him lose.
Yeah.
Have him do the obligatory broken ladder spot.
Yeah, he gets the kill. He gets the kill spot.
Right.
He gets the Shelton Benjamin spot. Oh, okay.
Well, I'm thinking more of the Edge spot from 23.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
The Edge spot.
As long as we get to see Kofi do a pogo stick thing still with ladders. That's fun.
The stilts thing.
Yes.
I'm sure they'll have him do something crazy. I just want him to win it for once.
In a perfect world, right?
Yeah. It's coming.
Yeah.
Although, now, on a serious point, guys, we already know Claudio is in FCW. Now Chris is there. Are we going to see the return of the Kings of Wrestling in WWE?
Hmm.
Well, the trick is, we still, there was so much talk about the fact that they want to get tag team wrestling back off the ground, but with all the problems with Air Boom. And
that's been shelved, pretty much.
Yeah.
It might make them gun-shy.
So, Hiro and Claudio can do very well on in their own right. They could do their own thing. They'll be just fine as singles wrestlers, and if they come up and they start and the tag team division starts rebuilding, it wouldn't be that hard to get them written back, write them back together.
Mm-hmm. One wonders what the random gimmick generator will come up with for them though.
Well, I'm going to be nice and not suggest that they saddle Chris Hero with a hurricane-ish corny superhero deal. I don't think he'd do it.
Hmm.
What's up with that?
Sorry, guys. I miss Hurricane, but
me
that's
too.
Just me.
We can do without, but Hurricane, I'm with you. Okay.
But I do, I do look forward. He's not coming up right away, obviously. They're gonna let him play around down there for a little bit, and then we'll probably start seeing the debuts trickle in after Mania.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're also gonna do some house cleaning after Mania too.
Right.
Yeah, that train's never late. That's a rite of passage, that first week after Mania. Yeah.
And that's more or less where you realize just where you stand in the WWE hierarchy.
And I don't see them cutting Miz unless he does something, he does one or two more really stupid things, or he really starts copping attitude backstage. And Hunter, I know you don't listen to this broadcast, but I think you should just put him back and put Miz back in his 2006 spot where he had to change in the hallway.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Let's put him back to that and make him remember that you may have gotten this far, but there's still some things you got to do.
You always said, Nikki, rule number one, you take care of your own.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You take care of your people. You take care of everybody when you're in the ring.
Mm-hmm. I mean, one wonders if this is an ego thing with Miz at this point. Honest to goodness. I mean,
it wouldn't surprise me, Jim, because he was pushed really hard, really fast. And he
came out of nowhere. Yeah.
Out of nowhere. I mean, and now thank goodness he had the ability to talk and put on some amazing matches with John Morrison, both as a partner and as a opponent.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But do you think maybe that the fame just, I mean, I know it's corny, but do you think the fame went to his head?
I don't see this, though, as a Jack Swagger style kind of thing, where I think the one thing I do think, though, is that, he thinks he might be a little more bulletproof than he really is.
And as we've learned, nobody is bulletproof save for Cena, pretty much. And that can be questionable at times.
Well,
but
I'm just saying,
no one is more. Yeah.
Cena, you know, Cena's proven he's bulletproof. The man no-sold neck surgery. Anyway,
yeah.
Well, you know what this reminds me of? This reminds me of when Triple H had to spend a year being the jobber to the stars because of the curtain call. And Triple H tells a story that Vince McMahon came up to and said, "Listen, man, I know what you did. I know why you did it. But, man," I said, "honestly," he said, "you all learn to eat shit and like it. And that's what he's going to have to do."
Mm-hmm.
I think he's going to have to learn, you know, there are certain rules in this world, and that's sort of what you have to do.
Now, in Hunter's case is slightly different because they couldn't go after Hall and Nash because they had a foot out the door.
Right.
And they couldn't go after Sean because Sean was much more bulletproof. Hunter had to take the fall for this. What's going on?
Yeah.
In this case, Miz has got nobody to blame but Miz.
Mm-hmm. And let me beg the question: when he was having his high of highs, if you will,
mm-hmm.
a year ago, a year and a half ago, I remember you mentioning on the show that yes, while you give him a little bit of credit for doing the right things, you were never a fan of the Miz's per se.
Mm-hmm.
This kind of stuff, these actions, kind of not to say you told us so, but does it reinforce why you weren't really a big fan of Miz's work ethic?
Well, it's not really that. It's just the fact that yes, he was a wrestling fan. He didn't come from a wrestling background. He came from a television background. Mm-hmm. And he's done, you know, it's one of those things. He's done everything that he needed to do to get there.
Right.
But,
and he also, for the most part, did a lot of what the Cena pattern was, which is do all the public appearances, do all the media appearances. And, you know, for a lot of last year, he was, excuse my language, all over like dog shit. Okay? He was.
And yeah, the Howard Cosell line, he's like, shit, he's everywhere, yeah.
But over these last few months, all of a sudden, it just seems like everything is spiraling out of control.
And I guess what it is with me is that he's done all that, but at the end of the day, just how good is he? He doesn't have any real specialty in the ring.
He's pedestrian, yeah.
His promos are good.
Mm-hmm.
Not great, but they're very good. But you've also got to remember, the man had freaking cue cards when he started.
Ooh, rah.
When he was the pseudo host for the Diva Search.
Mm-hmm.
So
he kind of has to. Law of averages says he picked up something at some point. Yeah,
right. He's done everything, but you know, he's unfortunately a Mike Sanders.
Ooh.
He's a Mike Sanders. He can do it. He can do it all, but he doesn't do any of it well.
Jack of all trades, master of none.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I don't hate the man. I just don't, you know, I just think that at times he was very overrated, and I didn't think he was a very good champion.
Mm-hmm.
And I stuck to that through his reign. You know, good for him. But you saw that it wasn't working. And when you're a champion and you're a third wheel, when you're an A champion and you are a third wheel in that match, you're not doing it right. Mm-hmm. Then again, if you're up against forces of nature like Cena and Rock, you're kind, you know, you're in a tough spot. And that might be something else that's just niggling in the back of Miz's mind. The fact that he was at the top and just got completely blown away by two of the biggest names in the wrestling industry.
Well, you could also blame the bookers for that in a way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And, however, the fact is that you all also know that it is not how you handle being on top. It's how you handle when you are not on top.
Mm-hmm.
That makes you the wrestler you are. Because all the best wrestlers that we have seen, okay,
mm-hmm,
have been both up and down. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And right now, I don't know if Miz can handle it at the moment.
No, because it is way too much fun once you've finished climbing the ladder and you've had a chance to sit on the top. But man, does it hurt when you start falling down.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I mean, believe me, everybody has an ego. Including myself, ironically.
Yeah, you have to have one to be the Biz. Well, wait a minute, Jason, an ego? Film at 11.
Yeah, shush. No, but all joking aside, though, it all comes down to the fact that I don't think Miz is handling the fall very well.
And it's just these next 6 weeks are going to be very, very telling to what's going to happen to him through Mania. Oops.
Oh.
Whoops.
At least we're keeping somebody or some appliance employed here.
May I have your attention, please? I have just received an email from the anonymous general manager on my Nokia Engage.
Oh, wow!
Okay, I shouldn't interrupt Brian for that, because he always has the best gadget references. I'm sorry, Brian.
Yes, he does.
That's okay. We love you anyway, Jimmy.
Let's see. What did he send me? You bastard!
What?
It's blank! Oh.
Blank?
Well, got DDoSed. Well, there you go.
The GM is trolling us.
Uh-oh.
Is there a picture of a weird, smiling Russian man in a brown suit on there?
No, it's just a close-up of a perplexed Jim Cornette.
F this company.
F the GM. That does it. I need to sell some soap while I think about this. We'll be back in a couple of minutes.
You're listening to the North American Wrestling Connection, presented by WrestleChat.net on the CLW 83 Network.
Williamswear is now a part of the CLW 83 Network and is proud to offer official CLW 83 Network merchandise. Go to williamswear.clw83.com. Click the CLW 83 Wear button and browse through an ever-growing, ever-changing selection of items dedicated to your favorite CLW 83 shows and websites. The BS Big Show, the NAWC, Game Show Garbage, and many more. All available at williamswear.clw83.com, the official online store of the CLW 83 Network. Tune in and shop right now.
Exclusive interviews and thought-provoking discussion on pop culture and reality TV. Listen live every Tuesday at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific, to Pop to Reality, where pop culture meets reality TV. hosted by Jeff Weiss and Mark Roberts. Pop to reality on Blog Talk Radio.
Roll the tape on this.
We have a great show for you tonight, as if I'd say otherwise.
It was actually going to be a very boring show this week, but wait.
I'll take entertaining answers for 800.
Well, with that said, we should actually end the show.
Boy, LeBron, what the heck were you thinking a year ago?
And the Facebook app interface is a really good way to keep yourself relevant and to even make a few bucks off of it if you can.
Yes, I Facebooked my Twitter and then got a restraining order thereafter.
Let's boogie tonight. I'm surprised you got away with this on YouTube.
Thanks for joining us, and until next time, stay sporty.
The CLW83 Network. Tune in.
How many pro wrestling news websites do you visit to get your daily news? 3, 4, maybe 5? Do yourself a favor and make that number 1. WrestleChat.net, the only professional wrestling news site that brings you all wrestling news all day long, and is home of the critically acclaimed Still Real to Us podcast, starring former CZW, ROH, and ECW announcer Eric Gargiulo and the champ Jeff Peck. That's WrestleChat.net. WrestleChat, it's where it's at.
This is Daniela Martin, and you're listening to the CLW83 Network.
There's a fly in my soup.
And we are back, and I've gotten that email sorted out, and actually he did remind, that was just a subtle reminder from our GM to talk about the non-promo that our dear WWE champion cut this past Monday night.
CM Punk, sort of.
And why am I echoing?
I don't know.
No, that's it.
Echo.
Many Volta.
I think you are, Jim, a little bit.
We all are.
Now that my headphones are on.
Okay. Anyway, it's still out there. I'm going to deal with it. Yes, after Jericho finally explained himself, as we heard in the intro tonight, thank you, Jim, Punk simply held up his microphone and said, Nah. Punk left.
In his new shirt, by the way.
Yes.
What'd you guys think of it?
Not bad.
Sort of a gray, sort of industrial shirt, which I like. You know?
Not I think bad. The real man to wear a shirt like that, you know.
There you
such
go.
A man. Such a man.
Let's see, on top of this, we also had a pair of promos, one from the evil boss, Dr. Levesque.
Yeah.
Essentially telling Undertaker, you know, I've got too much respect for you to go do this again. To which the IWC said, thank you, we have too much respect for you guys because we don't want to see it for a third time.
But he said it in a very interesting way. He said, I have respect for you. This is the image that you're going out on. I don't want to remember you like that. You know, basically saying you're a puss. You know, I kicked your ass to the point where you didn't walk. I walked out. You didn't. To which the son of Cerberus said...
Yes. Give me a second. I lost that button because I was going to a different one.
In the form of a question, please, Mr. Deadman.
He won't
Who
talk.
Who in the hell do you think you are?
Correct, your control.
in, and also, by the way, in an incredibly cool, almost serial killer-like office where he was hanging out, if you looked at it.
The video that they constructed of Taker sitting on his throne, for lack of a better term, with this wall covered with video from the past WrestleManias and tons of pictures of Triple H. It was, you know, kind of Silence of the Lambs creepy shit.
Yes.
And had Undertaker been there to actually ask the question, the evil boss, Dr. Levesque, would have been more than happy to answer.
I admit it. I'm an asshole.
And admitting it is half the battle.
So, while they're trying to make it look like this isn't going to happen, we know this is going to happen. But it's fun seeing how we're going to get there.
Mm-hmm. The theater of it all.
Yeah. So, having that on the card, having Cena Rock on the card, these two matches have done me a huge favor, and Jason, you're just going to have to give me this, okay?
Sure.
Stone Cold Steve Austin will not be at WrestleMania this year.
That's fine.
By God! By God! By God!
You suck. No, seriously, there was an article that basically said that with Rock and Cena on the card, I just find that funny. He's going to attend the Hall of Fame, but just stay as far away from WrestleMania as possible. Because he said,
come on, Nikki, you know deep down you want to know at the end of the Rock-Cena match, you want to see the Rock, Rock Bottom Cena at the end of the match after they try to do a handshake, and then Austin come in on his four-wheeler and Stone Cold stun Rock. That would just make your year, wouldn't it?
My
you
inner
want
smart wants
break
to
him, boss?
Say no. I want to see him stunner Cena.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think I live about 1,500 miles away.
Unfortunately, the soundboard's is apparently an Austin fan, because that's not what I wanted you to say. I said Austin's not going to be at WrestleMania.
Yes. That works both ways.
I know.
Yes.
But you know what? He's also, I mean, it's a combination magnanimous, egotistical way of thinking, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Considering the sources, yes.
Yes, exactly, because it's just like, okay, fine. You're not going to be there and upstage the Rock because you want to be the center of attention. Ta-da! Sorry. It's true.
So, let's see. On top of all this, what else did I have on here? Ah, yes. Well, since we'd had the mystery, was Mr. Laurinaitis fired? They did something very clever. They told us, no, we're not going to, this isn't going to be announced. So the evil boss, Dr. Levesque, came up, you know, had told everybody that the board of directors were still collaborating on it and it would be posted on the website the following day. Great way to pull some traffic, guys. Very, very nicely done.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately.
Unfortunately, Funkman still has his job.
What do you mean, unfortunately? I knew all along that I would have the backing of the WWE Board of Directors, and I have made some great decisions for the WWE Universe.
But if you watch Laurinaitis, and again, I love what he's doing. When he first came out, I'm like, what the hell is he doing? He is such a fully developed character. It's scary how good he is. Because he speaks corporate speak better than some of my bosses that I had. It's scary how good he is.
And I appreciate that.
Yeah, to the point...
I agree.
To the point that now, when I hear corporate speak, I have to keep a straight face, and it's not easy.
I do want to wish you the best in your future endeavors.
Yes. Anytime you read that or see that, you try not to chuckle.
No, the best one was Monday night when he was confronted by Triple H in the office, And he said the words, the board of directors were humanistic and empathy, you know, and had empathy. I was like, I was cringing with brilliant, you know. I was like cringing in one second and just shaking my head in brilliance in another.
Mm-hmm.
To which,
because
yeah,
he comes off as the ultimate corporate shill, which is what the character is supposed to be.
Right.
That's right. I'm supposed to be a brown noser. It's okay.
Bullshit.
I tasted some of that too. That goes with the territory.
Okay, John, if I can ask you one question.
You may do so, my disciple.
Yeah. Which brand do you prefer, Parliaments or Marlboro Reds?
I prefer to go off the board. I'm a Newport guy myself. I've been hanging out with Mr. Truth. No, that's
Oh, my God.
That's just, I think. It was in a character voice. Come on.
Yeah, I know, but wow. Okay.
Please send all your letters to Jim Williams.
No. No letters. No letters. We don't have a mailbox anymore. Anyway.
Oh, jeez.
Hey, Lawler can make the joke. I can. Come on.
I mean, I seriously want to know just how much you have to smoke to do that to yourself.
That's minimum just 2 to 3 packs a day, you figured. Come on.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Oh, speaking of WWE.com, there is a bit of news on there.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Apparently, they are doing a... they did a piece on in Abu Dhabi. Nurmal wasn't there, but Kane was, and so was Triple H, I mean, and so was John Cena.
Well, now we know why Nurmal wasn't there.
And apparently the two of them tussled a little bit in the world's tallest building.
If this was WCW, somebody would have gone off the world's tallest building.
And if it was the Giants, he would have survived.
Yes.
And there would have been Brown Hornet, he would have been he would have miraculously escaped unharmed.
No, but I actually saw this video, and by the way, Nikki, you will also say this is also another very good use of the WWE social network to get, you know, the storyline continued. This reminded me of the CM Punk video at Comic-Con.
Right.
What happened was CM Punk was there and someone else. And Justin, I believe it was Justin Roberts, introduced John Cena. John Cena took a couple of questions, and Kane walks in. Kane tries to slap the hat off of Cena. Miss, does it again. Okay. They get into a little bit of a slap fest. Kane tries to choke him. There's a little, little switching of positions, attitude adjustment to the table.
Oh, my. They can't afford that in Abu Dhabi. Come on.
No. Abu Dhabi's a pretty rich country, actually. Right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. But this is how you get the storyline over. Even though it really isn't over, but at least you try to get it over. You know?
Well, and they haven't had a dust-up at a press conference in a long time, so we were about due.
Sure. And again, it advances the story, it gets people talking, and why not?
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of the Middle East, kind of tangentially, your favorite 8-pack abbed former superstar is going to be heading over there, Nikki.
Oh?
According to WrestleChat.net, thank you, Franklin Daniel and company, apparently Jomo is one of his... upcoming independent gigs. He's going to the Middle East by the end of April, around there, I think the 26th or the 28th, it said, and performing with, depending on the pronunciation, Qatar or Qatar Pro Wrestling. Qatar, the country. So, no chance of a meet up there, obviously.
I can't quite afford that trip.
Well, no, I mean, even to meet up with his former colleagues and what have you. One other thing about WWE, and this is something I brought up to Jason. Was it last night I think I brought it up? Yeah. Raw, of course, was in Oklahoma City this past week.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, when you think Oklahoma, you think Jim Ross. Well, it was reported, and Jim Ross confirmed himself, he was in
Oklahoma City for Raw this past Monday night at the Ford Center, or whatever they're calling it these days. Apparently they were there to do some voiceovers for the WWE 13 video game coming out next fall, which got me to thinking a little bit. Why would they have Jim Ross and Jerry Lawler as an announced team on a video game if they're not going to try to bring Jim Ross back into the fold again in some way down the road?
Because there'd be an open boycott on the game if they found out that Michael Cole was doing all the commentary.
Well, okay. Well, suspending that belief for just a second, though. I mean, I never got WWE 12. I don't have one of the newer gen systems. I'm assuming Ross wasn't on that game.
Correct.
No, he wasn't. So, you know, it makes me wonder. I don't know.
I actually think Jim has a point. I really do. I think that, you know, usually when you have the guys who represent WWE on the video game.
Well, and there's actually a little bit more to that. And okay. I'll go ahead and bring this up. Have you noticed last couple of weeks in WWE programming that there's been more and more of people telling Cole to shut up, go away, what have you? I mean, just blatantly as part of the show.
Yes.
It happened. It happened twice tonight. AJ ripped into Cole, about the 30 seconds of that whole segment that I actually didn't have on mute. Because I also skipped the argument that Cole apparently had with Booker T shortly after that. Big Show was threatening Michael Cole's life once or twice while he was at the announce table during the main event. And just about anybody who is interacting directly with Cole, short of his broadcast partners, well, Lawler occasionally threatens him. You know, even the wrestlers in character on the show are turning on Cole. It's not just an instant face pop kind of thing. I think they're trying to steer the story to getting Cole completely thrown off the show.
And if he did, there would be much rejoicing. Yay!
Yay! Yeah, it would be. But that does bring up a very interesting point. I don't know if it's going to happen. But, you know.
Well, we've got an opportunity of Mr. Cole getting hurt again. This coming up. Thanks to the guest.
What are you looking at?
Yeah. You.
And that echo is really bugging me now.
Yeah. It's not from my end or your. I think it's from Brian's end.
Guys, I don't hear an echo.
Weird.
Echo.
And now it's gone.
And I muted Brian.
Well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen.
How about now?
I don't know. There we go. Okay.
Hooray! I think I had my speakers on a bit too loud. Sorry about that, guys.
It's no trouble.
But yes, Hall of Famer Shawn Michaels will be at Raw this coming Monday. Probably to either try to talk the evil boss, Dr. Levesque, out of trying to fight The Undertaker again, or trying to talk him into it.
Mm-hmm.
And trying to perhaps get himself involved indirectly as the special guest referee, as speculation has been going on for a while about this.
Right.
I know Sean wouldn't mind the paycheck, but hey, Sean, you're retired.
Well, it hasn't stopped Ric Flair. Oh, bad example. Bad example.
Very bad example.
Woo! Well, no, because with Shawn Michaels, he hasn't really reneged on his word.
True, mm-hmm. He's not wrestled in a match. He's made appearances, that's fine, but he has not wrestled in a match.
Correct.
So.
And.
That's bad luck.
Well, it's just a matter, you know, I just didn't, you know, it's a question of, you know, how do you count this?
Right.
But
obviously, that hunting show on the Hunting Channel not doing too well, and he wants to come back, you know.
This is
McMillan
this,
River Adventures.
Yes.
To be honest, I don't think I've even watched it. I probably have to go.
And if you have the channel, I'll be amazed.
Yeah, I was gonna say I have to pull it off of YouTube because I don't think I even get the channel. But it'll be good to see him.
No, sure.
I wonder if he'll be wearing the beanie cap he wears all the time now.
Dude, yeah, that AKA the Skinner cap. Okay.
Yes.
Speaking of Skinner, I was digging around on YouTube and I found that return that I was thinking about, where he looks like he just came home from a hunting trip.
Yes.
And that he had just pulled into the arena in time for the end of the show. He comes walking in dirty jeans and a flannel shirt and a cowboy hat and kicks Randy Orton's head off.
Mm-hmm. Those are the good old days.
I'm sorry, that just amuses me.
Waxing poetic, yes.
Do you see? I just kicked Stan!
Calm down, Sean! Don't tell me to calm down! I don't have to calm down for anything. Ow!
What's your name? Stan! Boom!
Let's see. Speaking of crazy character stuff, I think we will wrap up the show real quick with just a quick question about our resident vegan.
You know, you were reading my mind.
All right, go ahead.
So what do you guys think of our tree-hugging, Prius-driving, no-meat-eating individual who is our world heavyweight champion?
I love it. He's such a pretentious a-hole, okay? It's beautiful. It's like when, you know, every time they mention a steak, I go, steak. And when you see Daniel Bryan's expressions, it's brilliant. It's
like
really
you just saw
good.
The cattle get mutilated right in front of him. Yeah, pretty much.
Nicely done, by the way.
You know the image I get, and this may seem a little off base, he gives me kind of a Kurt Angle, It's True kind of vibe to a certain degree.
I was thinking the exact same thing.
Yeah.
I mean, like, oh, I'm a vegan. That's right. Oh, it's true. It's damn true. I'm a vegan. I drink my milk. Oh, it's true.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
Wrong guy. But you know what? Yeah. He kind of is channeling that a little bit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I see where you're going with that. But yeah, it's just so much fun with him just pulling all of this out of his hat. The Prius thing kills me.
I would have pictured him
riding a bicycle.
And Cole, truly not a complete heel, can't get behind Brian now that he's a heel, so there you go.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, I mean, look, so he's a vegan eating, Prius driving tree hugger who probably is going to vote for Ron Paul. I mean, I don't know.
Ethan's going to kill you.
Sorry, Ethan. But all joking aside,
Prius drive. Woo!
It's fun, and it's a really cool twist on the heel. Because he's not really doing heelish things. It's just that way.
Right. He's just so smarmy about it, and he's so holier than thou. I'm sort of getting the whole CM Punk vibe from it.
Other have said straight edge, like, yep. Mm-hmm.
It's just, and it's so over the top. Whoops. Welcome to Archive.
Hi.
But it's...
You see, I turned the hat backwards. It's like a switch that goes on.
And it kind of messed with your audio.
Yeah, it did.
That was me trying to do a really, really bad Sylvester Stallone from over the top.
But it's so good because it's like every time he says, I'm a vegan, I go, God, I love steak.
You want to have a steak jig right now, don't you?
The whole barbecue, the thing when he comes storming into Teddy's office. What's this about you having a barbecue in the parking lot? And I'm like, why wasn't I invited?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see Jim Ross there with his amazing sauce.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. By the way, nice shout out to JR, by the way. That was a nice touch.
Mm-hmm.
He's just like, hey, I'll put some JR sauce on it. It's pretty good. So I was like, yeah, nice.
There you go.
Well, and there you go. I mean, since they like to abuse JR, I was, you know, I'm almost surprised that JR did not show up on camera Monday night. But they could do a short bit with Brian blowing up on JR.
That would get him over.
That would.
I agree.
You kill the patron saint of all fandom, then you get your message across. Either way, you cut the cookie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, hey, you know, it's like you make sauces that get put on meat. You contribute to the torture of animals, you fat cow. I mean, I could write this stuff.
Exactly.
I mean,
shh, Big Brother might be listening. Yes.
No, let them listen. Maybe they'll actually get some of these good ideas.
Well, exactly. Honest to goodness, you talk about, you know, I mean, relating it to the Cole stuff. Michael Cole to this day still hasn't lived down that JR angle where he had to, the JR heel, kicking the nuts and all that kind of stuff. That's why people still hate him to this day. I'm truly believing that.
Mm-hmm.
That's an angle from 99.
1999?
So, that's when it was, the whole the Bell's palsy thing, yeah.
Well, I mean, look, I still think, JR says, he says Michael Cole is a character. This isn't Michael Cole the person, you know, don't bust on him. I'm like, yeah, we're going to bust on him. Sorry.
Yeah, sorry, going to bust his balls. That's what you want. You want to elicit a reaction out of the fans. The worst thing a character can do in the business of professional wrestling is elicit no response or silence. Worst thing you can do. Lots of boos, that's fine. Lots of cheers, that's fine. Stone cold silence, nothing. You're dead.
Well, see, the problem is that Cole is also eliciting another response, and granted, mm-hmm. this has not affected ratings.
Yet.
But it's elicited people to change the channel.
Well, remember the meeting we talked about a few months back?
Mm-hmm.
About, that they said that he's the problem. He is one of the problems. For the last 18 months now, him being a total douchebag of the year has made it hard to watch Raw. Although, albeit the last couple of weeks, he's been tolerable. Although you said tonight you muted him once.
I muted him through the AJ segment because I knew what was going to happen. Because AJ is still technically a face in this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And since she is dating Daniel Bryan,
mm-hmm.
all this was going to be was 10 minutes of Cole blasting her for dating that nerd.
Why are you dating a vegan?
And
we've
I don't...
a real man. A guy who eats meat. Wait, that
you
came
know,
out wrong.
TV.
It's just, you know, I didn't want to hear that.
He
and
drives a Prius.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now Cole's got some new material. That's great, but it's a heel bitching about a heel, and that doesn't work.
Exactly.
So, you know, even as a heel, Cole's still not doing his job. Because at this point, he should actually start warming up to the guy.
Exactly.
But he hasn't.
No, I hear those Priuses, Daniel Bryan. Daniel, I hear those Priuses get a lot of miles per gallon. Can you give me some information on that?
Yeah. Now, see, if it was me, I would have either had him riding a bicycle or one of those little tiny smart 4x4s.
Smart car. Oh, yes, a smart car, yes.
No, break out the gem car from Whammy. Come on.
Yes, an electric car. Yes, no, you have him drive a Nissan Leaf. Which
there you
is
go.
God.
A purely electric car.
There you go.
Okay.
Oh, God.
That's coming, but Prius apparently has its own independent levels of douche.
Yes.
So now we're officially, if you get him into a smart car or something like that, we're officially between Ricardo's ride and Alberto's.
Right, no. No, Prius has its own level of douchebaggery, because if you drive a Prius, you think you're saving the planet, when, ironically, it actually costs more and has more of a higher carbon footprint than a normal gasoline engine. Just
okay.
And I'm not talking out of my ass. I actually have a stat to back that up.
It's sort of what they call a gree-gree in the world of voodoo, which is a talisman mm-hmm. you wear around your neck to make you feel better about yourself.
Uh-huh.
Hey, guys, I got to keep going, so I'll talk to you next week or down the road.
All right, Jim.
All right. But, but overall, love what Daniel Bryan is doing. I mean, I didn't think the heel turn would be as good as it is, but it's so awesome. He's so full of himself, and it's just so damn, it's not subtle, but it works.
Well, that's why it works, because it's not subtle. It is so blatantly over the top.
And it works.
It's just enough of his face character going, you know, turned up to 11 with a twist.
Because the beauty of it is like he thinks he is morally superior, and that's the beauty of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's the moral superiority, because it's like it's not the Miz, because the Miz comes off as an egotistical prick. Okay, I'm the Miz and I'm awesome. You're just, you know, you're peons. But this is like, I'm Daniel Bryan and you should worship me because I'm a vegan. I drive a Prius. I don't eat meat. You know, that sort of thing.
Right.
You know, I'm better than you, but in a different way.
Right. He's as if he took Punk's straight edge savior thing and just, you know, retooled it a little.
Yeah, if you want to say it that. Yes, exactly.
That's pretty much what he did, because somebody made the comment that Punk and Bryan switched roles.
Although, we're talking about like nerds in wrestling. I wish the WWE could create a nerd character. In that you have a guy who's into science fiction, who plays D&D with his buddies, who just so happens to be a really good amateur wrestler who decides to try his hand at the pro game.
The trick is finding somebody who's fluent enough in some of those different languages of geek to do it. Some of the guys have their backgrounds. Surprisingly, Bryan and Punk both have strong comic book backgrounds.
And AJ is apparently a huge nerd.
Yeah, she's all kind of geek. I mean, she dressed as Kitana from Mortal Kombat and actually tried to do some of Kitana's moves in the costume battle royal.
Hadouken!
What was some of the other guys? Kane played D&D, which is why I think that's one of the other reasons why his character is so good.
He's also a real hardcore gamer. There's a story that he modified his Xbox to where when he played a Civil War game online, his character would wear the Kane mask.
Oh, that's awesome! I want screenshots.
But we all know that CM Punk tweets the comic books he reads when he's home.
Yes.
On his days off, he goes, you know, he'll say things like reading and then post a photo of The Walking Dead or something obscure comic-wise.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, exactly. People are mainstream geeks in different ways.
Right. Because, actually, yeah, I'll tell that story. I had always thought that Rob Van Dam was also a D&D player. One of the big tip-offs was his Dracolich t-shirt that he had when he was in the Fed. The Skeleton Dragon t-shirt that they released back in, like, 02, early 03. So, when I caught him at an autograph signing in Cleveland, I finally asked him if he was a gamer. He's like, what do you mean? I said, do you play Dungeons & Dragons? He says, no, but since role-playing and comics and a lot of that stuff interact, I know what they're talking about. I've never played. So, translating to, I don't speak that particular, you know, I don't speak that level, that particular geek dialect, but I understand it.
Oh, didn't you also tell me something else about Cody Rhodes?
Cody Rhodes is the video game geek, but the Matt Stryker one's the best.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to do a geek character, Matt Stryker can do it. Matt Stryker speaks sports geek, music geek, video game geek, comic book geek, wrestling geek, and gamer geek.
Well, yeah, I might add.
As he likes to call himself, a wrestling nerd.
Yes. But I have this straight from him. Because I asked him, you call yourself a wrestling nerd. You know, what other, you know, are you, you know, I also see that you're a video game nerd. And he rattled off a few other ones. And I said, are you a gaming nerd? He says, what do you mean? And I said, 3.0 or 3.5?
And what did he say?
3.0.
When?
And I went, yes, 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 yes. I'm doing the Daniel Bryan celebration. Everybody else is looking at me like I've got two heads.
When?
But the Cody Rhodes one. Cody Rhodes was getting away with this on TV. Everybody saw the Triforce logos on his boots, right?
Yes. Apparently, his favorite video game of all time is A Link to the Past. And apparently, he plays it once a year.
So, when I finally got to meet him, just before I moved to Minnesota, I brought him a baseball cap with a Zelda insignia on it, the same eagle logo that's on Link's shield. And I asked him about the Triforce logos on his boots because they disappeared about the same time he gave up the dashing character when his face first got busted up. And he said that he got a cease and desist letter from Nintendo.
Really?
So he had to take the logos off his boots.
Guess that's hilarious.
Which I think is just awesome.
Well, we all know that a lot of the wrestlers actually have units they take with them.
Yes.
From, you know, portable units to, like, you know, Xboxes and PS3s.
Right.
And they have a lot of time on the road, and they play. They're gamers.
Yeah, because they, you know, they get to a hotel. It doesn't take much to hook one of these bad boys up.
I think my favorite story about the whole thing is... Jim Ross produced one of those WWE cookbooks about a couple years ago.
And I remember, yeah.
And he does talk about it. He says things that annoy him. He says, I really wish that the the workers would spend less time playing video games backstage and more time working on their characters.
Well, indirectly, they're working on their characters if they're playing themselves in the video games, right?
Well, yeah.
I mean, well, I don't... Go ahead.
No, you first.
Well, I was going to say, I always got a chuckle out of when they would, you know, promote their video games by having the guys playing them backstage on camera.
Yeah.
I remember a specific one, which kind of leads back to what you the story you just told, Brian, with Mark Jindrak and Lance Cade, God love him, God's got him. The two of them were playing the game, playing one of the WWE video games backstage, and they got admonished for it. And they're like, well, you know, what are we supposed to be doing? Said, well, you should be preparing for your matches. You know, you guys are new here. You shouldn't be goofing around like this. And that led into their rookie impact kind of thing, where they were the ones that were running around causing trouble backstage. This
yeah.
was early 2004.
Well, I mean, it's also very interesting. You know, the companies, the THQ is in trouble financially right now.
Mm.
Let me actually find that out. Give me a sec here. Pardon me.
Not a problem.
Live time, because I saw this, and
Though we're disappearing on UBTR, thank you for getting us our archive back. Okay.
Yeah, hold on, 1 second here. Because.
Oh, by the way, speaking of video games, as Jason looks for that, I don't know if Nikki, if you're aware of it, but the new Joe Gagne's Pro Wrestling Funtime Arcade video is up.
Okay.
And this week he reviews Sergeant Slaughter's Mat Wars.
Hmm.
Which is the straight up craziest video game he has reviewed yet.
What system was that for?
It was a Commodore 64.
Okay.
This is as of about 10 days ago.
Okay.
THQ will lay off 240 workers, or more than 17% of its workforce, in the coming months as part of a previously announced restructuring plan to remain viable by radically scaling back the Agora Hills game publisher's operations. They temporarily have the base annual salary of its CEO to $359,250 for 1 year, starting February 13th. Additionally, it reduced Fowl's potential termination pay from 3 times the amount of his highest annual bonus to 1, or should he resign or be fired without cause, according to documents THQ filed Wednesday with the SEC. The beleaguered game company, once the industry's top three players, fell prey to a string of poorly performing releases in recent years, as well as a shift of consumers away to the types of console-based children's games on which THQ excelled, to free or inexpensive games played on Apple, iPhones, or iPads. But they said, and this is good for us as wrestling fans, they would concentrate on the hardcore games such as Saint Rose the Third and as fighting games based on the licenses with the UFC and WWE.
Cool.
Okay. Now, also, remember, WWE 12 got incredibly stellar reviews and I believe was the highest selling game in the WWE franchise. And the UFC Undisputed, which just came out, got a 9.0 out of 10 from IGN. So that's going to do well as well.
Brian, that echo's coming through again.
How's that?
Still there.
Okay, I don't know what to tell you guys.
No, we're gonna have to keep an eye on this thing with JR and Cole. I think they are gonna try to switch. I don't know if they're gonna try to switch him back or if they're gonna have, you know, JR come back at least part time.
I still think they should just bring up Stanford.
Yes. I would love to see a Scott Stanford, Matt Stryker announced team.
Yes. Stanford, play-by-play, Stryker, color. And Stryker is not allowed to pull up any kind of wrestling history because he's not very good at it.
No. So, anyway, I'm gonna take off. And
yeah, I think I will too, folks.
Yeah, I think we'll call it here. But we've done a pretty good job tonight, and thanks to the archive, we even got a little bit more done.
All right, thank you very much, and we'll talk to you next week on the CLW83 Network.
Yes, yes, we will. And as the North American Wrestling Connection wraps up for tonight, Jason, thank you. Brian, thank you. And Jim, thank you wherever you landed. So, good night, gentlemen.
Good night.
Good night, and study hard in life, and hopefully one day you will too hit him with the folding chair.
There you go.
For more information about this podcast and all of our other podcasts, please visit our website at clwa3.com. Any questions or comments? Please send an email to clwa3network@gmail.com. This has been a presentation of the CLW83 Network. Tune in.